You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the show. This is Locked On Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, again, reunited, and it feels so good, it's David Ramil. How you doing?
Well, I feel good for you. I'm not feeling 100% just yet, but I figured, you know, you'd been carrying the show for so long. I had to help out as much as I can, you know.
Well, I took one day off after election night. Just couldn't muster a show for Wednesday morning. And then you carried the show Monday. You had that interview with Fred Katz about that Thunder preview. And then here we are recapping Dwayne Wade's triumphant in one way or the other return to Miami. The Bulls beating the Heat 98-95. Miami dropping now to 2-5 on the season. Obviously, one of those spotlight games on the calendar, right? One of those things that you just circle and everybody's waiting for. TNT ran the game. An emotional night, I think, for a lot of people, for Heat fans, for Dwayne Wade, for his teammates, for the Miami Heat team and his former teammates who are still on the roster, for Eric Spoelstra, for Pat Riley, who we heard words from when in his sit-down interview with TNT. I mean, a lot of things involved here, a lot of stuff on the line, and I guess we should just start with the introduction of Dwayne Wade into American Airlines Arena. They gave him the proper home team welcome, right? They didn't just give him the away team welcome. That was great. You heard the announcer do the typical Dwayne Wade. The Heat honored him with a tribute video that was going around, that the team tweeted out, so we were able to watch it. First of all, I guess, what were your thoughts? What were your emotions like in seeing this? Did you react the way that you expected?
I honestly thought I'd be a lot more emotional about it, but I can't go so far as to say absolutely indifferent to it. But I guess, you know, after the long summer of kind of having to digest it and seeing the pictures of him in a Chicago uniform and then seeing him hit three pointers in the preseason in the first couple of games of the regular season, things of that sort, I guess I just kind of gotten used to it. Now, having said that, when Michael Biamonte announced him the way he had for 13 seasons and the combination of seeing him and Udonis kind of playfully interact with one another before tip-off, those kinds of things, I mean, I'd be you know, dead to think that, you know, I didn't feel something for that. And it was a little, you know, it's still a little unfortunate seeing him in a Chicago Bulls uniform. You know, it's still a lot to deal with because he had defined his franchise for so long. And I don't know if I was necessarily prepared for it. I guess I thought I was, and then until I actually saw it in action, then I realized that, you know, there was some pangs there, you know, a little resentment on my end.
Resentment, really?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it shouldn't have gone down this way, you know. And we've argued about it so many times, and I always struggle with it. I flip-flop about it, you know. The Heat shouldn't have paid him a lot of money, I think, at this point. And I think his game tonight encapsulated that. You know, he started off shooting pretty poorly, and, you know, he took a lot of ill-advised shots. He wasn't the team's best, you know, the best option to close the game out. That was Jimmy Butler. And so
Wade, 5 of 17 for 13 points, had 3 turnovers in the game. Yeah. Not his best game.
No. So, yeah, I mean, look, but at the same time, his absence creates a void for Miami, one that we have yet to see who can fill in as a closer for Miami. And, you know, it's funny that you and I had talked about it as often as we had, but not that you ever want to give too much credence to anything Charles Barkley has to say, but he did point out that the team was lacking a closer.
That's not rocket science, but I want to get to that later. I want to talk about Dwayne Wade first because and I do want to talk a little bit about that TNT broadcast, maybe towards the end of this thing, because that deserves some sort of criticism. But I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I think that it's still just, you know, I think you and I, we watch enough of the NBA in general that we've caught Bulls games. And I know me, you know, personally, I've tried to catch a few Bulls games this season just to almost get used to this, like, just try to get myself ready for this, and also just to watch how that's an interesting team in general to see how they're playing. So it's been weird, right? Like, this isn't now just, it's not just now weird. It's been weird. Right. It's been weird this whole time. The weirdest thing about it was almost like a funhouse mirror. You're watching the Heat in Miami at American Airlines Arena. Dwayne Wade is there, but like the wrong jersey is on him. It's like, it's just so, it, that to me was, I knew that was going to be strange. That's something that's hard to get used to. And just because the first game is over, I mean, Dwayne Wade said after the game, he's glad this game's over, right? And it's going to be weird the next time that these two teams play in Chicago, if when they play again in Miami. It's just always going to be strange. Until Dwayne Wade eventually comes back to Miami, but that's a whole other subject. I thought that the tribute video was well done. I thought that the fans really cheered him on in a positive way, and I was happy about that. I didn't want, you know, Heat fans don't need any more bad press, you know what I mean? So I was glad that they cheered him on, and as loudly and as vigorously as they did. At one point, Dwayne Wade even pointed to them when he was at the free throw line, and they cheered for him. The only time they booed for him was at the end when he was at the free throw line, and they were booing for him because the game was close, and they would have been booing anybody on the Bulls at the free throw line. They were trying to get him to miss some free throws, which of course he didn't miss. But yeah, I thought it was nice. To me, my favorite thing was his interaction with his former teammates. TNT showed a clip about him interacting with us on Whiteside and saying, he's like, no, I blocked you. And Whiteside's like, no, you fouled me or whatever. And
you're right.
I loved that. I liked seeing him with Udonis Haslem at the beginning of the game. Not nearly as warm as maybe I thought it would be. You know, I assumed that they would hug, like, you know, big bro hug it out at the beginning of the game. But it was more of just a, hey, man, he kind of like blew some chalk at him or whatever. And that was about it. And it's like, of course, that's how these guys interact. They're like brothers. Or like, they probably text each other like on a weekly basis. They don't need to like hug it out. They probably hung out last night, right? Like,
I imagine so, yeah.
So I like that. I like that it was just basically a head nod, like, you know, brothers forever. You don't really have to go that extra stretch, you know, to show that you care kind of deal. I liked his interaction with Josh Richardson, and I liked his interaction with Justice Winslow. Both of them at the end of the game, he hugged Goran Dragic for the game. It was just nice. And I liked Wade's comments after the game. He really, I don't know if it was, he was just saying it, but I don't feel like he was, where he was talking about like, those guys are really growing over there. He was excited to see how they played, that he was impressed with how hard they played. And if they keep playing like that, they're going to be a good team sooner rather than later. And, you know, a lot of that might just be, like, him talking and you know, doing the right PR thing. But I truly do think he believes that. Like, that he was invested in those guys for so long and invested with that organization for so long. Of course he's going to keep tabs on that team a little bit closer than maybe... and he knows those guys, all those guys personally, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
In a nutshell, I liked how he was interacting with that for me. That was, to me, my favorite thing, more so than the videos or the fans cheering. I liked how he was interacting with his former teammates.
Yeah, I mean, I think the videos and everything else is more for the in-house presentation and everything else. And
sure.
I'm disappointed they didn't show it on TV because I think it's important. I think people at home want to see these things as well, although I guess there are many options for viewing it later on and everything else. But, I mean, I know that we'll probably get into it at some point, but I was curious, you know, how he interacted with Winslow during the game.
Yeah,
you know, at one point getting a little contentious there when Winslow was defending him, and I guess he gave him a hard foul, and he kind of wrapped an arm around him, and then Wade shrugged it off a little bit too vigorously.
Yeah, he kind of pushed him off. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Winslow had a kind of a shocked look on his face, like, "Come on, man, are you really gonna do this?" And Wade turned his back on him completely, like to say, look, man, we're on opposite sides now. This is not how I'm not going to play this game with you. You know, get off of me like that, you know, kind of pissed. And it was interesting because, you know, you and I both talked to Justice Winslow at Summer League, you know, after he heard the news. And this was a guy who was visibly shaken by Dwayne Wade's departure and everything else. And so, you know, he was obviously looking to Wade as a mentor, and to have him kind of, you know, brush him off that way, I feel like it really did upset him. And in fact, you know, we did see Winslow go on a little bit of a run following that, where he, you know, he hit a couple three-pointers, he was aggressive and diving to the hoop and things of that sort. He was playing very good defense. He finished with, what, 4 steals, I think? He had a good all-around game. And he just seemed a little bit more engaged, and that was interesting there, because I thought, you know, this was like a, I don't know, the innocence dying there, I guess, in his eyes.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of interesting to see that take place over the course of a game.
Yeah, it was almost like a, you know, a mommy and daddy are fighting kind of moment. Like, it was, it was, you know, and at first I was sad, right? I was like, oh, I don't want to see that. Like, these guys are supposed to be best friends still. Like, no, don't do that. Like, you know, it's like when you hear, like, the Beatles don't like each other, and it's like, no, they're supposed to. But afterwards, it's like you said, like, I think that little fire, I think that was, you know, almost another form of mentoring by Dwayne Wade, whether it was, you know, on purpose or not. Yeah, intentional or unintentional. I think it was. It was like, hey, like, second year player, like, young guy, you're 20 years old. We're not friends when we're in between the lines here. Like, you need to go harder. Like, you need to compete harder. Whether or not he was actually intentionally doing that to Winslow, which I do doubt. I think Dwayne Wade is just a competitor, and that's what happens when you get a competitor on the court like that. But I think Winslow saw that, and he's like, oh, no, this is going to – let's get real right now. Like, it's not going to be nice. We're not going to be nice to each other. And like you said, he went on a tear after that. He wasn't playing great to start the game. And at the end of the game, and Winslow – we're going to talk about Winslow more specifically later in our spotlight section, but – you know, 6 of 12 for 15 points. He hit a few three-pointers afterwards. Really got going and became, you know, a catalyst for a lot of what the Heat were doing for the rest of that game. So that was a really, you know, it ended up making me sad at first, but after a while it was kind of cool. Like, that's, you know, this whole thing has been so unexpected. You know, the whole Wade, you know, thing so far, him leaving, has been so unexpected. That was a great unexpected moment, but also one that almost... one that made sense and kind of balanced things out in the end, which a lot of people view Wade leaving in the first place as something that kind of makes sense for both sides. So it kind of just, it encapsulates like almost the whole thing here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if we have any, there's so much to dig into this Dwayne Wade thing, but overall I think, did you have a favorite moment, like one favorite moment?
Well, I'm actually going to write about it later on tonight, but I think that one move where he was on the baseline and he spun away, I think, from Winslow and finished with that crazy reverse layup.
Yeah.
And got the and one as well. And then kind of did the whole finger gun pointing at the crowd to say, look at me. And this was after he had already started off the game like 0 for 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he was already starting off shaky with his shooting and taking a couple of ill-advised three-pointers, et cetera. And then he pulls off this crazy circus move. And that's kind of like the whole thing of who Dwayne Wade had become towards this part of his career, is that you didn't expect him to have sustained greatness game in and game out. But there were still moments like that where he could provide greatness, and that's what you kept watching for. And that's, I think that's what the Bulls fans and you know, that and the team itself is learning how to deal with now, because he started off great, he's cooled off a little bit, and he's not going to be there every night, especially on a back-to-back like this was. And so you can chalk it up to being fatigued or anything like that, but that was, to me, that was like a perfect moment to say, like, this is who Dwayne Wade is right now. And you kind of have to appreciate it, because there's still moments of greatness capable that he's capable of displaying like that. And so I find that to be always a little bit interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And then, you know, he hit a couple free throws there at the end of the game to really put to really ice the game.
Right.
So but the Bulls, really, they weren't going to him down the stretch. They were really more going to Jimmy Butler there. And I guess we might as well just start recapping the game now. I thought that was a little interesting. The teams and the coaches, they don't want to get involved in the emotions and in the heat of the moment type of thing. So it makes sense if Fred Hoiberg, the Bulls coach, is going to Jimmy Butler routinely at the end of games, it makes sense to keep doing that. I haven't watched enough of Chicago consistently to say that that's what they do at the end of every game. But I also thought, like, Dwayne Wade is the type of alpha dog here, but that, you know, that would just grab the ball and want to close the game. But he was also like, you know, we heard Dwayne Wade talk in interviews before the season saying, like, this is Jimmy Butler's team. I'm not going to take this thing over. So it was really, you know, Wade not trying to, you know, control the ball at the end of the game and say, like, this is my old team. I'm going to finish this thing out. For him to do that, I thought was really mature by him. Kept with the message, the consistent message that he's had throughout the, you know, the before the season started and the season so far. So, yeah. But I thought that was interesting. I thought it was, I liked that Josh Richardson was playing defense on Butler. Justice Winslow was on Dwayne Wade. I thought it was a good, almost like a 2-on-2 matchup almost.
Yeah, I saw some people kind of or hinting at that, that they thought that maybe that was a bad move to have Richardson guarding Butler, and that maybe they should have had Winslow guarding Butler instead because he's probably the better overall defender.
What do you think?
I think, I mean, we saw Winslow guarding Butler at some points there, but I think overall, I think Richardson's probably a little bit more quicker afoot, so a little bit better at kind of shifting with Butler's speed and quickness and things like that. I think, you know, Winslow is a little bit more of a you know, keep a body on him kind of defender, using his strength and his length to harass a ball handler and things of that sort. But I think that Richardson might match up with Butler a little bit better. I don't know. I mean, coming down the stretch, it looked a little too easy for Butler to get those big shots that he did. But I don't know that anybody could have stopped us, to be honest with you. You know, he just hit some really tough shots.
He had that one almost like turnaround step back jumper over Richardson. That's a tough move, you know?
You're not defending that, yeah. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar couldn't block that.
Yeah, I don't know if Winslow could have defended that any better. To me, I thought, you know, it would if Jimmy Butler is the best offensive player, it makes sense to put your best defensive player, and that's Justice Winslow on him. So I got that. But, you know, I thought about it. These are Heat coaches that look at Dwayne Wade, and they still probably have a lot of respect for Dwayne Wade. They might just view Dwayne Wade as the better offensive player, you know? They know what kind of player Dwayne Wade is. They know how clutch he is at the end of games. The last time they really saw him was, you know, really like ending a series in Charlotte and having a big series against Toronto. Like, I thought that could be one reason. The other reason I thought was just like you're saying, like, Winslow's a good on-body defender. They run Wade off of screens a lot. I don't think they don't do that nearly as much for Jimmy Butler, or they at least they weren't doing it in that game. So you want Winslow's so good at running over running around and over and through screens that I thought that makes sense to have him there, especially as Richardson is trying. You might not want Richardson running through as many screens because he's just recovering from a sprained MCL. So maybe
they may have assumed that Wade was actually going to be the closer. Maybe that's why they had Winslow on him in the first place. You know, maybe they were shocked to see the ball in Butler's hands, knowing what this meant to Wade and that he probably called for the ball. And, you know, it was a realization for the Heat coaches there to see that, you know, maybe Wade isn't the alpha dog in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. So Jimmy Butler had a good game, 5 of 11, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. A good all-around game. I think.
What do you think of the game overall? Because I mean, Miami certainly kept it pretty close there. I mean, they were a couple stretches there where they went up, and then they, you know, made a comeback, and you know, they held a lead briefly, and then, you know, Chicago made a comeback. Overall, it was a very tight game until towards the, you know, maybe the last few seconds of the game there. But I think they had a good chance at winning this overall. Do you think this was Miami letting it slip away, or Chicago doing just enough to keep Miami at bay?
I want to say first that I thought that was a really good game. I thought it was really entertaining. I thought there was a lot of effort on both sides of the ball. Might have not been pretty all the time, but I thought both teams were really going at it and really wanted to win that game. So it was entertaining from that standpoint. But, you know, this is the same thing. This is what the Heat are, right? Like, I keep saying it, but it's, you know, for the first three quarters, they're going to be in games. And it's the fourth quarter that they're going to, a lot of these games are going to slip away. This is what happens to young teams. This is just the way it is. I mean, we saw Dwayne Wade at the end of the game. I can't remember exactly when it was, but, oh, it was the second to last possession of the game when the Heat needed to get a stop. And they inbounded the ball to Dwayne Wade. And he, you know, he mishandled the pass, and realizing that in that moment, basically flopped. You know, as soon as Justice Winslow contacted him from behind, he flopped out of bounds, and the refs called a call. It was a controversial call. I mean, whether or not you think he flopped or not, I think he did, as soon as you realize that, you know, maybe he mishandled that pass a little bit. And instead of it being a turnover on the Bulls and the Heat getting a chance to tie up the game or take the lead, you know, the Bulls got – Dwayne Wade got free throws out of it and iced the game. So I really thought that's the sort of thing, like, a lot of people on Twitter were like complaining about it, but that's what you're going to get from a veteran team. That's what you get from veterans. That's why Pat Riley has always wanted veterans, because they know how to do that. They know how to make those little in-between savvy veteran plays to win games at the end. Those in-between things. They can do those things. Young teams don't – they can't do that yet. So I just think a lot of those things happen at the end of – at the end of all these basketball games. At the end of, like, almost all five of Miami's losses – you know, that's been close. They compete. They're close, but they're young. They're gonna these games slip away, and that's okay. Like, they're learning how to win games. You know, you hope that Winslow and Richardson, who reacted to that call, they see what he did there and they learn from that, and they try to they put that in the bank and they try to use that maybe someday later. You know, that's just, you know, that's what young teams are.
Now, Goran Dragic didn't play much. He only played 22 minutes in total. Didn't have a really particularly good night. 4 assists, 6 points, 2 steals.
Got hurt.
Was he? Do you think that's part of what it was, that he was just he got hurt and they kept sat him out?
Well, he went to the locker room afterwards.
Oh, did he? Oh, I'm sorry. I did not notice that. Then maybe that explains it.
Yeah, he as soon as he played 22 minutes and he got hurt and. Looks like he sprained his left ankle and the Heat took him
to the locker room. That's right. I did see that, but I didn't see him go to the locker room. I must have missed that.
No worries. I mean that, and we do. I mean, I guess we should talk about that. I don't know how big of an injury that's going to be, if it's going to sit him out for a few games. I don't know. If he's out for a long time. I mean, the Heat are only going to lose more games because the offense gets out of sorts when he's not in that ball, when he's not running the point guard.
Yeah.
So.
And the next game's Saturday against Utah. I know that much.
Yeah.
So you'll probably sit that one out.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine he probably won't play immediately. There's no reason to rush him back. Not when the team is 2-5. But, all right. You want to get into the power forward belt?
Yes, the Levi's. Is it still Levi's sponsoring us?
I think we need a new sponsor. Levi's hasn't called to confirm. We can let it be like Applebee's or something.
Oh, the Applebee's. It comes with your own dipping sauce and chicken wings on each side of the belt, which is awesome, by the way.
And Wednesday night karaoke for my homies in college.
There's the Applebee's in Orlando by. Central Florida?
Yeah. Every Wednesday night, we were there.
Karaoke?
Completely sober.
Karaoke and watered-down drinks, huh?
Completely sober. Just water and fruit.
Nice. Well, I guess the owner of the power forward belt is James Johnson, who finished the night with, 5 points in 21 minutes of play, 4 rebounds and 1 assist and a block. Now, Luke Babbitt only played 16 minutes. He finished off with 3 points, of course, going 1 of 2 from downtown, 1 of 3 overall. Didn't have much of an impact otherwise. He started the game. He started the third quarter, and that's basically the pattern that we've seen from him.
I should say James Johnson came in for Justice Winslow initially. So he played a lot more of the small forward than he's been playing this season, but he did play a lot more minutes at the four, especially like towards the end of the game when they played Babbitt less and played James Johnson more.
Yeah.
I think they liked his size against Chicago, and Babbitt wasn't shooting particularly well. I thought he only shot the ball 3 times. 2 of them were from 3-point range. He made 1 of them, so he hit 50% of his threes, but I thought like I don't think he was moving well. I don't think he was able to find space he wasn't able to get his own shots, so I thought they liked James Johnson, what he brought as far as ball movement and just general defense against the size, against guys like Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott. I thought they liked James Johnson there, and I thought he played an effective game. I'm really starting to like James Johnson. I tweeted this, but like, he's been an underrated facilitator for the Heat so far this season. I'm like, one of my favorite things to watch this year, right now, is really just James Johnson passing the ball. I think he's a really good passer.
Yeah, I mean, I know in your conversation with Locked On Raptors, they talked about how much they had grown to like watching him over the last couple of years there in Toronto and everything else. And of course, as his skills waned, they were disappointed, but they were still rooting for him. And we're seeing kind of a resurgence, I think. He's in great shape. He's been engaged for the whole season. You know, obviously it's still early on, but he's playing at a pretty good level. And you're right. His playmaking has been an unexpected bonus. I didn't expect that from him. I thought he was more of a kind of solid defender and a guy who could hit the occasional three-pointer, you know, a three-and-D type. But he's been a good ball handler. He's a good passer, and he can finish at the rim as well. So, I mean, overall, I think he's been a great addition for Miami.
Still no Derek Williams. Still no Josh McRoberts. So James.
Well, Williams did play for his. He played for the first time against Oklahoma City.
That's true. 3 minutes in garbage time.
Yeah.
So whatever that's worth.
Nothing.
It's worth nothing. All right. So congratulations, James Johnson. Still the holder of the power forward belt.
Enjoy your chicken wings, James.
Enjoy those chicken wings and
karaoke.
And karaoke. I wonder what he sings in karaoke. I don't know. All right.
R&B classics.
I just want him to dye his hair again.
And grow the beard out or not?
You know, I'm not going to force the beard on him. I get it. It gets hot in South Florida, so you don't want.
Well,
the,
as a 6'10" man who's a black belt in martial arts, I don't think you could force him to do anything. Let's be honest.
All right, agree to disagree.
I mean, I'm sure you're very persuasive.
I quit after the first day of karate. I didn't like that all the kids were hitting each other, so I quit.
You're a sensitive kid.
That's a true story. So, okay, you might be right about that. The power of the pen is mightier than the sword.
Sure.
So let's just get into our spotlight players. We're getting off track here. Not that I don't enjoy that. Embarrassing children's stories. First spotlight player is Justice Winslow, of course. We talked about him a little bit earlier, about his defense against Dwayne Wade. Kind of covered his stats briefly, but was really, really impressed, specifically after what we said. Like, he got in that little scuffle with Wade, and I thought that really lit a fire under him. Which, to me, that's... To see that competitive spirit out of Winslow, that's really, really good to see. You know, you don't... Not to say that it wasn't there, but he's kind of an even-keel guy, so it's nice to see him, like, harness that and play emotionally in a way. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as some people are like to point out, I was critical of him because he wasn't necessarily emotional or demonstrative on the court. And then I always took that as being like perhaps a sign of some kind of weakness there. The reality is that's not been the case, but you're right. This is a different side of that where, you know, maybe he doesn't necessarily show a great deal of emotion, but he responds emotionally, mm-hmm. which is fine. You know, he took the hit from Wade and he kind of internalized that, and he played at a whole other level, one we haven't seen this season, where he was knocking down shots, playing much more aggressive defense. And I think he was Miami's best player, I think, although Whiteside led the team statistically as far as overall points and everything else. Winslow continued to have his all-around game in effect. And just his shooting was much better than it had been on previous nights. 3 of 5 from 3-point range, 6 of 12 overall. 6 assists, 4 steals. That's a really good solid stat line there. And he played the most minutes, 38 minutes to Hassan's 37. So he continues to lead the Heat in minutes played per game. So
I really enjoy, you know, I liked him at the end of that game. I was really, really impressed because. Number one, he was guarding Dwayne Wade. That's a tough... Even Dwayne Wade at his age now, even if he's not the main guy, number one option for the Bulls, he's getting the ball a lot. You have to be locked in against him at the end of the game. That's a tough defensive assignment. So he was doing that. He was playing Dwayne Wade really, really well, I thought. The whole game, especially towards the end there. And at the same time, was also, after Goran Dragic got hurt, they gave the ball to Justice Winslow to bring the ball up the court. And they got away from that a little bit. They started sharing it with Tyler Johnson and then Deion Waiters, you know, more into the fourth quarter. With right around 2 minutes left, Deion Waiters threw a bad pass, committed a turnover. And then right after that, they gave it right back to Justice Winslow to basically close the game. And that was something that Charles Barkley wouldn't shut up about the entire night, was who's going to close the game for the Heat. But a real concern, something that you and I have talked about. And for the Heat, it was Winslow. With a minute and 45 left, He had a really nice pass to Josh Richardson for a score on the very next play. With a minute 15 left, he had a really fantastic driving layup to score.
That was really nice.
And he had a couple other plays. Winslow, on the next possession, had a pass to Tyler Johnson, who missed an open three-pointer, but Again, Winslow creating high usage rate situations for him. And at the end of the game, he was the one inbounding the ball. So there was a lot of responsibility for Justice Winslow there. When we're, you know, something, a theme this season that we've been covering is who's closing the games for the Heat. And at the end of this game, in a lot of ways, it was Justice Winslow, despite exactly what you were saying. Whiteside had 20 points in the game. Is their most quote-unquote dominant, you know, offensive player, but it was Winslow with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, the all-around game. I mean, that's what he does at this point until such time, if his offense starts to match his defensive output. I mean, then, you know, then we can expect this to be, you know, shifting more in White and I'm sorry, in Winslow's favor.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just, you know, making contributions here and there, maybe things that don't necessarily pop out statistically, but that it was a very strong performance, I think, and it was an encouraging one.
3 out of 5 three-pointers. That was really encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he looked smooth. I mean, I don't know if it's the working with a shooting coach. I don't know if it was the broken, you know, innocence after Dwayne Wade shrugged him there. I mean, it might have been a combination of factors. Maybe it was just
his
a good shooting
looks
night.
Better. I mean, he's got like a nice little hop into his shot that kind of gets him into rhythm. I don't think he's not his release looks a little bit quicker. He's not bringing the ball all the way down. You can tell that there's in his head he's going through the motions of that shot. Like, okay, hop step, get that ball out quickly, get it out high, keep the elbow straight, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You can kind of see that he's going in through those motions, and after a while you just hope that it becomes more and more automatic.
Yeah.
I know we want to talk about Josh Richardson for our other spotlight player. First time that we're having sophomore one and sophomore two as our spotlight players. This is a landmark moment. I should remember this.
Yeah, I mean, 28 minutes of play for him is just his second game back from injury, right? Or third game back?
Third game back.
Right, because he played against Toronto, Oklahoma City, and tonight. 6 of 13 shooting, 4 of 7 from three-point range, finished with 16 points. Good, solid defensive tenacity from Richardson, as we can expect, but the shooting is what you and I had talked about for so long as far as, you know, why he was likely to be the starter for Miami. He spaced the floor. He looked much more confident. You worry about a guy like Richardson. You can see him beat himself up after he hits that first three-pointer, like, yes, you can do this. And I guess, he probably has a little bit of nervousness about it whenever he takes that shot. You hope that that's, you know, something that he can eventually erase if he continues to take the big shot. But he looked like he was pretty confident today. He hit a big one in clutch minutes there. I think that was impressive and something that you want to see from him, that the comfort to be able to knock down those shots. So I think he was a big part of the offense. And as you and I talked about before we came on board, we expect him to resume the starting role soon, if not by the very next game.
Yeah, and I thought that he played – I thought he was a little rusty at first. But right when that game started getting a little bit more emotional and more competitive, I think that kind of knocked the rust off of him.
Mm-hmm.
He started hitting those threes that you talked about. I think we're at a point now when you have Josh Richardson playing in a big stage. You know, it's not, this isn't, you know, it's only a couple weeks into the season, but this was on national TV, on TNT, Charles Barkley commentating on the sideline, playing Dwayne Wade. I mean, this was a big stage. And I think you have him in that situation. You have him guarding Jimmy Butler consistently. You know, he's putting up the 16 points. It's time, I think, now. He played 28 minutes. I think we're seeing, this might be the last time he comes off the bench. I really think that shows me that he's ready to start.
Well, he could wind up starting Saturday against Utah, but only because if Dragic gets, you know, if he's resting because of his ankle injury or whatever. So, I mean, that's a possibility also where they could shift Waiters to the starting point guard position maybe, and or have Richardson start at point guard. You know, either one is interchangeable, so we'll see what happens there.
That would be, now I'm thinking that's disappointing if Richardson does get the start and then Waiters can't. We don't get to see the starting lineup the way we want to, but Waiters, I don't think, would be a terrible backup point guard in this situation. He had 6 assists tonight. Just 2 turnovers. I mean, he had that one bad turnover late. But 6 assists to 2 turnovers is a really good ratio.
Why are people hating on Deion Waiters? I cannot understand it.
I you know, I'm with you on this, right? Like, we agree on this, so I don't even know how to come at it from a different angle. But, you know, it's exactly what we're saying. Like, he is charged so much with creating for others, especially when Dragic went out and he had that turnover at the end of the game. It was a bad turnover, don't get me wrong. He might just be one of these guys that, you know, makes a bad play at the wrong time. But at the same time, like, he had 16 points tonight on 6 of 15 shooting. 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, just 2 turnovers, like I said. He had a good game tonight for the Heat. Yeah. In an ugly game, in a game that, like, you know, a game that there wasn't a lot of airspace for a lot of guys, and you need guys who can create their own shot.
I mean, it's hard for me to understand exactly what it is. Maybe we're biased, maybe I'm biased. But all I see is him being aggressive and doing things that nobody else in the Heat team is willing to do at times. And, mm-hmm. and he does it somewhat effectively, mostly effectively. Yes, there are moments there where he has bad plays. But, I mean, you could make that argument for anybody. I mean, to me, there are moments of that Whiteside is not as engaged or almost clearly indifferent, or where he makes a boneheaded defensive play that to me is much more glaring than anything Waiters does. And yet Waiters, I think, has this established narrative that, you know, chases him everywhere he goes.
Well, let's just compare stat lines, right? Justice Winslow arguably had the best game on the Heat, right?
Sure.
Okay. And I think that's what a lot of Heat fans, that's what their sentiments were. Justice Winslow had a great game. We loved how he played. Justice Winslow's stat line, 38 minutes, 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3-point range, mm-hmm. 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 15 points. All right? So I know there's a lot of numbers, but just try to keep track, guys. Deion Waiters, 36 minutes. Winslow had 38. Waiters, 6 of 15. Winslow was 6 of 12. Waiters was 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. Winslow was 3 of 5. Waiters had 4 rebounds. Winslow had 5. Waiters had 6 assists. Winslow had 6. Waiters had 2 turnovers. Winslow had 2 turnovers. Waiters had 16 points. Winslow had 15 points. To say that Waiters had a bad game and to say that Winslow had the best game on the team, which is what a lot of Heat fans view this as, is insane. Those are virtually identical stat lines.
Yeah.
You know? I know I'm preaching with the choir here, but it's like, I'm not sure. I'm yelling at the, you know, at just everybody that's listening that disagrees with us. But, you know, it's I think that we give Waiters, you know, he puts the spotlight on himself. And so I guess, but he does that in a way that he's trying to create for others, just like Justice Winslow was charged with doing at the end of the game. And, you know, it's just, but you're right. It's that narrative that follows him around, that he's erratic, you know, and
right.
It's tough to shake that off. So, all right. I don't know. Were there any other notes? I know that Spoelstra after the game was talking about he wanted to get Udonis Haslam into the game. Tim Reynolds, who covers the Heat for the Associated Press, tweeted, "I've never seen Spo more torn up about one of his decisions than not playing UD tonight. Never. Wow." And Spoelstra apparently saying that he wanted to get UD in there in the second quarter. I'm not sure why he wanted to get him in so much, if it was so much just trying to get Haslam a chance to play against Wade, or if he thought that it was strategically a good situation. I imagine it was a strategic thing. I'm looking at the points in the paint now. 38 for Miami, 40 for Chicago. I thought, you know, Robin Lopez had I don't know if it was an effective game, but a standout game. I mean, he took 20 shots in that game, so it was obviously something that they were targeting. But interesting that, yeah, Haslam didn't play any minutes and Spo really wanted to get him some minutes. I'm not sure how much that would have made a difference, if at all. But
seeing a tweet now that Goran Dragic is in a walking boot for a sprained left ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of that. That makes sense. You probably want to keep the swelling down and stuff.
Probably borrowed it from McRoberts.
He's probably got like a whole bag full of them. What size do you want? What color? I got all of them. Other notes that I kind of took down here, Tyler Johnson had that that pump fake for a three-pointer that got Dwayne Wade, that Dwayne Wade bit on. Definitely a move that he either consciously or subconsciously learned from Dwayne Wade. It was with the shoulder and the head fake and everything, was textbook Dwayne Wade pump fake. And it got Wade there.
Yeah.
So, Wade after the game said, Tyler got me on that one. Smart move by him. It's good that he takes notes. So Wade recognized it. And also Wade mentioned that he got the vet call. This is again from Tim Reynolds, who's tweeting quotes with Dwayne Wade at the end of this game. So, he admitted that that call at the end, he said he got the vet call there. So that's good. Yeah. This just coming in. So Goran Dragic in the walking boot. X-rays on Dragic were negative. He'll be evaluated again tomorrow. So that's really reassuring.
All right. We'll stay posted then, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Next game, Saturday versus the Utah Jazz at 8 p.m. You're going to be at that game, right?
I am, yeah. That's exciting. I've never covered a game at the American Airlines Arena before, so I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, excited to watch the Utah Jazz and all their exciting players.
Okay, yeah, it should be a good one. you don't find them to be exciting?
No, Utah's a good team. Utah's a good team this year. I don't know if there's anybody that lights up the marquee, so to speak, but they're fun to watch. All right. Gordon Hayward's good, man. Future Miami Heat player. Biscayne Bayward. Not letting that go. All right. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email. Or you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Should note, we tweeted this out from the Twitter account, but sorry we didn't get to the mailbag this week, just with the Thunder game. And we had we wanted to do a preview with that with Fred Katz, which David did. That went up Monday, and then obviously the game was there, so we couldn't do a transmissions Tuesday because we had the recap. And then by then it was like the middle of the week, so we just skipped the mailbag. So we'll get back to the mailbag next Monday. So definitely send in those mailbag questions, flood the mailbag, so to speak. LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And if you aren't subscribed to the show already, please do so. We're getting more and more subscribers every day. We really appreciate the support. To support us a little bit more, leave a rating or review on iTunes. That really helps us in the iTunes charts and helps other people discover the show as we're into this young season. We want to branch out, expand our horizons, and talk to more Heat fans. So that's all we got for today. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.